Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back here on Sports Talk. Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com, joining us now. And, of course, Kendall is a friend of the program, and he's the managing editor of D1Baseball.com. And, Kendall, I don't know if you remember, I asked you about Tommy White a couple of weeks ago when he entered the transfer portal out of NC State. Here was your response, and I think it was quite prophetic.
Tommy White, the slugger, freshman slugger from NC State baseball, into the transfer portal. Makes sense of that.
That was really interesting, wasn't it? I mean, that's been a rumor for about a month and a half now, and you know, I just kind of figured it was a rumor and nothing would kind of materialize from it. But as you know, I saw four or five NC State players enter the portal yesterday. I'm sitting there thinking, man, there might be actually something to this. So,
Coach,
you know, he entered the portal today, and, you know, right now it sounds like he's one of those kids that, you know, he was obviously a talented player out of Florida. He kind of fell in love with NC State. But now that he's had this great season, it sounds like he may be a little homesick, wants to go home. And so, you know, right now it sounds like Florida State. But, I mean, here's the thing. He may want to go back to Florida State, but here's the thing. If you're a guy like that, that's that good, that talented, has that kind of stock, I mean, you would be crazy to just go to Florida State and not shop yourself around. I get it. I get it. Like, it sounds kind of sleazy, but, I mean, if you're Tommy White, I mean, you could probably go to LSU, A&M.
You go to Tennessee. How about Tennessee, Ken, though? Virginia
yeah,
Tech?
I mean, all these schools have, like, huge NIL collectives. So you might as well just make some money while you're at it if you're going to go through all this trouble.
That's what I'd be doing if I was Jay Johnson. I'd be like, hey, sponsors, Andy up, let's go. Let's go ahead and get
exactly,
this kid.
Exactly, man. We need to get Tommy White sponsored by Walk-Ons or something. I don't know.
sponsored by Walk-Ons. It might happen. He's now headed to LSU. Kendall, what do you think about that move?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny that we kind of had that conversation, because that was my whole point all along. Is like, if you're going to leave, I mean, dude, you might as well see, like, you know, there may be greener pastures out there than Florida. And so, you know, obviously LSU, and I'm not just going to sit here and just say the guy's going to LSU for money. I mean, I don't think that's it. I mean, obviously he's probably getting a pretty good NIL deal. But the simple fact is, obviously Jay Johnson has a really good track record with hitters. And, yep. You know, I don't know how he kind of factors in positionally. That's the only worry I have with Tommy. But he's one of those kids that, like, you just get him in the program, get him hitting at the box, and you'll find somewhere to put him positionally.
Figure it out.
Go ahead.
No, I just said figure it out if you're Jay Johnson.
Exactly.
Get him hitting and then
that's
figure it out.
What Jay's whole approach has been this offseason is like, hey, let's get a bunch of studs. We'll figure it out later. And I like the sense of urgency out of him. You know, this is a team that, you know, was preseason top 10. They went on the road for regional. They got to regional final. But they didn't get the super. And, you know, the fact that Jay is not happy about that, he feels like, you know, the bar for this program should be much higher. I think that's a good sign. That's a good sign for the future of this LSU program, in my opinion.
Yeah, Kendall, I've texted Jay Johnson three times since their season ended, and I'm not bemoaning it at all. I think it's a testament as to how serious he is about this program. He hasn't even responded with no or hey, I can't right now. So it just goes to show you how earnestly busy he is.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell him to give you a call back. yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, you look at, you know, getting Christian Little, you know, what was one of the big kind of bugaboos at LSU this past year. It was the fact they really did not have a shutdown type of guy in the weekend rotation. If you look at Christian Little, I thought his role at Vandy was way smaller than it should have been last year. I mean, you're talking about a guy when he's right. I mean, it's as electric as stuff as anybody in the country. Obviously, Wes Johnson's going to do some great things with him, in my opinion. You know, you even look at, you know, a guy like Carter Young, who certainly, if you look at his numbers last year, you're like, wow, this guy's not very good. But, I mean, he's ultra-talented. He just had a bad year. So, you know, he's a turnaround candidate. And I like the Jack Pineda kid from Baylor a lot. Clearly, he could get drafted and end up signing. But I like him a lot as well. So, I like the additions they made. But, you know, kind of the biggest fish other than Tommy would be Paul Skeens, a two-way star out of Air Force. And I think I like LSU's chances with him as well at this point.
So, T-break, do you think LSU has a real chance of keeping him, or is he going to the MLB?
I think he's a kid that ends up signing. As long as he gets anywhere near what he wants, I think he's going to sign. And he's one of those kids that he's been pretty adamant about that, right? I mean, and again, I think it's a guy that if you're LSU and you need premier starting pitching, like, he's worth taking, because guess what? If he doesn't get anywhere close to his number, you know, your weekend rotation is some form of, you know, the Grant Taylor kid, Christian Little, and T-Break. And so I think he signs, but, you know, never say never. I mean, it's kind of like Reggie Crawford, the kid out of UConn, the talented left-handed pitcher. Chances are good. He'll be a top 20 pick in the draft. He has no shot of going to school anywhere next year. But you know what? He's in the transfer portal, and if I'm somebody like LSU, I'm like, hey, dude, if you want to come here, like, we've got close to a full ride waiting on you if you decide you want to go back to school for 1 year.
LSU has added two shortstops to the transfer portal. We talked about Carter Young, also out of Baylor. The name skips my mind right now, and I'm sure you know it. But
Pineda.
Yeah, Jack Pineda. Does that spell doom for Jordan Thompson?
I think it just means he moves. I mean, I think if you're Jordan Thompson, I think he more than likely shifts over to short or moves in the outfield or something. I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Second base?
I don't think Jordan Thompson's going to be their shortstop next year.
Yeah, I said earlier, I think maybe Jordan Thompson, because we saw it a little bit this year where he kicked him over to second base. You think that's a possibility?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you look at Jordan Thompson, like, there were times last year where he actually did a pretty nice job fielding the ball, but, like, he just doesn't have, like, an ultra-strong arm. But, you know, at second base, as long as you can field the ball, like, it's not like you need a rocket arm at second base. So I think second makes the most sense. He's definitely not good enough defensively to be on the hot corner. So I think second's probably his most likely position.
Based on what you've seen now with the hiring of Wes Johnson, the transfer portal being, I think, you know, being in LSU's favor, what to expect of LSU baseball next spring?
Well, I mean, I think right now, I mean, I hate to say it, but, like, you know, assuming they get another arm or two or get Skeens, like, I mean, Omaha's kind of the expectation. And it's not really fair for Jay to expect that. I mean, I get it, it's LSU baseball. But the thing is, if you look around the country, there are programs that have made that immediate jump. I mean, look at A&M this past year. They go out and get, what, five or six transfers? A year later, with a new coach, they're in Omaha as a national semifinalist. So the framework is there. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But, I mean, if you get a couple more arms, you know, you're talking about having the best player in college baseball back next year. And Dylan Cruz, you know, you're talking about all these position guys that, you know, you've already mentioned. You're talking about Christian Little. Let's just say Paul Skeens ends up a Tiger. I mean, that's a really, really – you know, good amount of talent in terms of the weekend rotation. Obviously, I thought the Grant Taylor kid at times this past year, I think for me, will end up being a huge arm under Wes Johnson. And so, I mean, they've got some really nice pieces. But, I mean, we'll see how the draft shakes out. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with the draft. I do anticipate this. I think one of the big reasons why Jay has been able to go really aggressive in the portal is I do think LSU is going to get hit pretty decently in the draft. I mean, they've got a lot of really, really highly rated high school players. And that's not to sound alarm bells at all, because the dynamic of college baseball has changed. I was just talking to, you know, Florida coach Kevin O'Sullivan a while back, and he was kind of telling me, like, man, like, you know, we've got all these players in the state of Florida that would love to be a Gator, and they're, you know, all top 50 national guys. But it's like, you know, do we just take all those, or do we go out and, you know, and take 75% portal guys or 50% portal guys and the rest high school? And that's a dilemma coaches have, because if you're at LSU or Florida, you can literally go out and get half of your class of portal guys and fill in your holes immediately. And guess what you do? You go get a guy who was at Mercer or was at South Alabama and has 190, 200 bats, as opposed to a guy that he has 400 at bats, but it was at Holy Cross High School in New Orleans. And, oh, by the way, you have no idea what he's going to do in Division I baseball. So, I mean, for my money, I'm probably more apt to go get kids out of the portal, even if they're just, you know, above average players, more so than relying on, you know, primarily high school prospects.
Do you think the transfer portal has changed the game that much?
I do. I really do. I mean, I've talked to so many SEC coaches in addition to Big 12 and ACC that, like, they're just hunting the portal, man. Like, they're just looking for guys. And then they'll kind of craft their other recruiting kind of around what they're able to get out of the portal. So it goes both ways. There are these mid-major coaches I talk to. They're like, you know what? I'm going to develop, I think of the Colby Thomas kid that's going to Florida, or Dell Thomas that's going from Coastal to Florida. And, you know, these mid-major coaches, some of them are thinking, you know, I'm going to sit here and develop this kid for 1 or 2 years. And guess what he's going to do to me? He's going to go to LSU, or he's going to go to Florida for a year, you know, whenever I'm the one who developed him. Well, I kind of think, and I kind of think of it the other way too, and a lot of coaches feel the other way too, is, you know what? If that kid's going to go to LSU, guess what happens? Somebody's going to have to leave LSU. And it's not like anybody in LSU's program is a bad player. So, you know, if you're Mercer and one of your better players goes to Florida or LSU, you might turn around and get two kids from LSU. So I really think it's going to be one of those things in the future to where it may be one of those deals where a kid wants to go to LSU, the coach makes it easier for the kid to go to LSU, and, oh, by the way, hey, Jay Johnson, if you have a couple of kids that you've got to cut bait with, hey, we'll take them in Mercer, or we'll take them at South L. So everybody's happy at that point.
Yeah, I think it's made it a much more commuter league. You're not going to have guys there for 3 years, even 2 years to a degree, with the draft-eligible sophomores.
No, you're not.
Kendall Rogers, managing editor, D1Baseball.com. How about the run of Ole Miss? Huh? I mean, last four in, now national champs.
Yeah. It's really crazy, isn't it? I mean, this time a year ago, we were all talking – well, it was a little bit before this time a year ago, but, you know, we were all talking about the possibility of Mike Bianco at LSU. The LSU fans didn't want him. They thought he wasn't very good. He couldn't win the big game. Ole Miss fans wanted him out of there. He couldn't win a big game. They were mad because he came back for another year. And all this season, it's looking like, oh, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. And rightfully so, right? I mean, Ole Miss, they started the season top five. They were number one in the country after the Auburn series, the first weekend of SEC play. And had they not made the postseason, I mean, you've got a legitimate reason to make a move. And they got a lifeline. You know, they probably should send John Cohen at Mississippi State, their rival. They should probably send him a really, really nice Christmas card. But Ole Miss gets in. And I said when they got in, they are a scary team because they got in. There's no expectations on those guys from their fan base. There's no pressure on them. And for the first time, you've got a supremely talented Ole Miss program that has zero pressure. And when you're playing with house money like that, man, you're a scary team. And I think that's kind of why Tim Elko going into the postseason said, you know, if we just make it, I think we're going to win the national championship because they're just as talented as anybody in the country. But as we all know, they tend to play a little tight. And what I'll be very interested to see, Christian, is was this Omaha run a turning point for this program mentally? Because for years and years, you've looked at Ole Miss and gone, okay, they're in the postseason. How bad are they going to melt down this time? And I really thought in the second game, you know, Jacob Gonzalez, you know, boots that ball in the middle of the late innings of that second game, and you're thinking, oh, man, they're going to go full Ole Miss. They're going to melt down. And what happened? I think it was the next play, Peyton Chatagnier turns that double play. And so I think the most intriguing thing for me is beyond, like, how impressed I was with their run is, like, was this a tide turner for this program? Like, all of a sudden, Ole Miss knows it can win a national championship. And that could be scary for opposing teams kind of moving forward.
Yeah, and other recruits notice that, that's for sure. Kendall Rogers, managing editor of D1Baseball.com. Thank you so much, Kendall.
You got it, brother. Be good, man.
All right, coming back, Skip Bertman, Ron Maestri, two college baseball titans and legends. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.